Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hello, I'm Gavin Emmett and welcome to the BT Sport MotoGP podcast. We're here following the sixth round of the championship at Mugello, and here is how the race was won.
This is the last lap of the Italian Grand Prix.
Here
he comes back, stuffed it underneath Marc Marquez. Watch now Marquez at one more place.
Ooh.
And Marquez cuts it back through the chicane. Absolutely elbows out. I asked for that and we're getting it. Here comes Lorenzo. That's it. Now Jorge Lorenzo is done and dusted, surely. We're into the last corner. Marc Marquez has climbed a mountain in Mugello. Never underestimate the power of determination. He's Honda's hero in Ducati's backyard. Will it be? Oh,
no,
it's not.
Lorenzo.
It's Lorenzo who does it. What an incredible finish. What an incredible finish. Ian Ohne gets third. It is Jorge Lorenzo. Lorenzo wins the Italian Grand Prix.
Coming up, the views of Colin Edwards, Neil Hodgson and all the protagonists from race day in Italy. But first, what did Keith Ewan and Julian Ryder make of the race?
Jules, I don't know about you, but I'm absolutely knackered.
I'm shattered, Keith. I am a stretcher case. Get a relay for me, quick.
Fantastic. Well, we won't get out of here for a while, so we might as well have a bit of a chat about this.
Indeed.
I mean, I have to say, MotoGP had it all this weekend, didn't it? Oh. Valentino Rossi on pole position. He fought back over what was looking like it was going to be an awful qualifying to get a pole.
And what, two poles, Valentino, in the season already? That's almost unheard of.
He's just changed his entire strategy,
completely.
Hasn't he? He made it work because he knows that he cannot let anybody away. And, of course, then we have the drama of warm-up on Sunday. I mean, it's over 100,000 people cramming through a little tiny lane to get in here. That's bad enough. We left at, what, 6 o'clock in the morning and
yep.
Still got stuck in traffic trying to get in here. Everybody, I'm sure. They say 100,000 people are here, Julian. I'm convinced. I haven't counted them, of course, but I'm convinced that there's more than that here.
Well, yeah.
And it could have been Valentino that's brought them in.
Of course it could, Keith. I just have to put on record my gratitude to Mr. Hewan for not whinging about my driving too much.
Now I know why you whinge so much at mine. Because I cut it a bit finer than you.
I'll remember to repay the compliment next time.
Yeah, the conversation in the car really was about whether Valentino yeah. could make it work. And then we got for warm-up and we saw for the first time in a while an exploded M1 motor, you know, smoke and flames coming out the bottom of Lorenzo's bike. And, you know, it's such a rare occurrence, isn't it? And you wondered at that point whether off a second row Lorenzo was going to be able to make anything of this.
Yeah,
weekend.
Lorenzo having been, by his standards, invisible in qualifying.
But then in the race, as he paced Lorenzo, Valentino looked to me, when he's that close, he's threatening. You know he's going to have a go. He's got the quality, the
yes.
class to make a move on Lorenzo. And then it's a second M1 that's gone pop. Unbelievable.
This time Valentino's.
Have you ever known anything like it?
No, I'm struggling to bring to mind anything.
Top man from Yamaha was here,
like
and I bet he's on the phone.
I bet he's, there's a few doors closed and a few meetings taking place. I mean, he did get to see a win, so he'll have been happy with that.
Consolation to some extent, I've got to say, but not what Yamaha would have liked. Not two motors blowing at the same time. There'll be an inquest to that. I wonder if it was a rogue part that, of course, during the race, brought into question whether Lorenzo's bike was going to actually finish.
I agree completely. You're absolutely right. There's one thing that Japanese corporations hate. It's seeing their products go wrong in public.
But again, Marc Marquez, I mean, Lorenzo had that metronomic pace, looking even to have to draw on his 250cc days
yes.
to beat Marquez in the end. It was brilliant the way he worked it out. But Marquez making that, what is relatively slow by Honda standards, bike in a straight line, awful handling, and somehow the kid still took it to Lorenzo, managed to make Lorenzo work incredibly hard to take the win.
And he said, at the end there, I took risks for the win. And he was not telling lies, was he?
Even Jorge, though, in the interview afterwards, said that he thought he'd lost it, basically. He didn't believe that he was going to be able to get it back.
The pass he made at the last load beyond Detti, wasn't
Detti,
it?
Yeah.
And Jorge said, my pass was a crazy move.
That he remembers he practiced back in his 250cc days. That's how long ago he had
against
the draw.
Against Alex De Angelis.
The memory bank. Yeah, that would have been a tough one to have made, wouldn't it?
Yes. Quite.
But for me, I've got to say, Jules, I just think that there's been such a lot of lessons for kids to learn here today. We've seen Fabio Di Giannantonio, the performance of that kid. I mean, we're all going to be practicing his name from now on, aren't we?
Antonio. There's an extra syllable in there you don't expect.
You've got to split two words into one. Gian Antonio.
I'll tell you what, his English is better than our Italian.
Complete with braces across his teeth to pretty him up a little as well. He's only 17 years old. I mean, he didn't only just get his first points of the series, on the middle of the podium, second place. Unbelievable. Binder can't seem to stop winning now.
No.
But Gian Antonio was the man for me.
Rode beautifully. When you said it right from the start of Moto3, I hope this kid gets his just desserts today.
He's been good all weekend, but it was a fantastic thing. But when you're looking across at what the likes of the top MotoGP guys are having to draw from, where they're getting all this from at the moment, I mean, it's bringing on kids. They're seeing, you know, people like Lorenzo talking. He's going back to his 250 days to draw on experiences from them. Valentino Rossi, who's tidied up even his qualifying when he couldn't qualify to save his life in the past. You've just got Marc Marquez, who's riding around an awful Honda at the minute. You've just got such quality acts across the entire field.
And interestingly, Valentino Rossi's students, his employees in the VR46 organisation, all over the front row of Moto2 and Moto3. And not all over the roster on Moto3, they got done in by young Fabio. But Lorenzo Baldassarre, a VR46 man, on the rostrum.
Been a pretty special weekend so far. Moto2, of course, we had a bit of an interlude between the Moto3 and MotoGP races with the Moto2. Sam Lowe's on pole, great pole, looked like he got the pace, but basically run out of tyres when, in the end, Xavi Vierge's bike speared an air fence. And, of course, they had to red flag it just so they could repair the air fence, put a new one in there, which they did brilliantly well. But, unfortunately, officialdom didn't do brilliantly well the fast start procedure, did they, with the 1 minute. You get the 1 minute buzzer in pit lane. All the bikes have to be out of pit lane within a minute and round for their sighting lap. And, of course, loads of them, including Sito Pons, a veteran like Sito Pons, both his bikes.
And Taddy Okada's bikes.
Another, you know, brilliant rider, Taddy Okada, managing a team. So you've got two great riders managing teams, and they can't get out on time. Caused an immense amount
of
consternation.
To be fair, wasn't Erta's doing. That was the teams not reading the rules.
Rules have been written. It had been there all along, although it was the first time that they'd had to implement it, in my memory anyway. And, of course, became a bit of a problem. And Alex Rins, the guy who leads the World Championship coming into this, goes to the back. But from a Brit perspective, Sam Lowe's have been all through free practice, all through qualifying, on the hard Dunlop option and set his bike up for that. Sam's a sensitive man. He likes what he likes. Couldn't run, couldn't dare not put a soft in for the 10-lap race, as it turned out. Should have been, 21 laps? It ended up being a 10-lap sprint. Johann Zarco, on the other hand, he'd been running soft all week, had a spare, went out on a new tyre.
And did the business.
It's just not fair, is it?
If you're French, it is. If you're British, it certainly isn't. That is the case. But Sam, still, I'll maintain my glass half full attitude. I've been trying to cultivate this
weekend.
You've
done very well.
Sam retook the lead of the championship. It was a 7-point swing in the championship from Rins to Sam. Now, you can't argue with that.
No, you really can't. Rins, of course, starting on the back row. He is one of Sito Pons's men, and that's why Sito Pons was going so nuts in the first place down in pit lane. I don't think we've heard the last of that. I think there's going to be some rewrites regarding that fast start procedure rule. Of course, that brought then MotoGP into a situation where they then had the 15-minute start procedure to line up, because TV
the medium,
times...
The medium, intermediate level...
And we know what you're like with intermediates.
We do, Keith.
teams, of course, having to work to get their bikes out there on time because, you know, the media around the world, television times around the world, were waiting with bated breath for Valentino Rossi to roll up on pole position, not to mention the 100,000-odd fans that were sitting. And, of course, it's cooking out there as well. It's red hot. It's the hottest day of the weekend so far.
By a long way.
Okay, then, mate. Mugello, best one of the year so far.
Oh, of course.
Who's your man of the match? Ooh, the fact that you had to think about it means how good it is.
Yeah, exactly. In every class, Keith.
Yeah, out of every class.
Out of every class, I'm going to say the bloke you picked right at the start of the programme, Gian Antonio.
Great. Me too. I think that I'm disappointed with what happened to Ian One. I'm really pleased to see Marc Márquez take it to Lorenzo, give it to him. I'm really disappointed about Valentino Rossi, but I've got to say, 17-year-old, never scored a point before, a complete rookie.
An Italian at his first Italian Grand Prix.
He'll never forget it.
No. And what a nice kid.
Our three race winners today, of course, in MotoGP after an epic battle with his rival Marc Márquez. Jorge Lorenzo's third victory of the season means he extends his championship lead. In Moto2, we had a shortened race because of a problem with one of the airbags. Johann Zarco takes his second win of the year and he gets himself back in sight of contention. And in Moto3, an absolutely brilliant race. Brilliant performance as well by Brad Binder. Third win in a row, taking him to a 49-point lead in the championship. The atmosphere here is unbelievable. We say it every single year, but they are pouring onto the track. A new record for spectators at Mugello, believe it or not. 100,000 fans pack their way in. I think about 50,000 have already made their way down onto this front straight now. We haven't seen a crowd like this since Valentino Rossi was last on pole here in 2008. But Colin, it wasn't to be for Valentino Rossi today, but that beside, because that deflated the atmosphere, we've had some great racing.
It's been awesome. Been a great day. And don't ask me what happened to the Yamaha. I don't know.
I thought you'd have had your feelers out already. No. We pretty much know it was an engine problem, though,
definitely,
for Valentino Rossi.
But judging by the smoke, they can't blame that one on electronics.
Hey, that yellow smoke's coming up now for all these flares that are going off underneath us now. But we've got to, I think the MotoGP race, a lot of it was decided by the start. At the front, we look at Jorge Lorenzo on the second row of the grid. He's in fifth. He makes an absolutely incredible launch.
Typical Jorge. He's unbelievable on the start. I mean, he rolls into turn one. He's in the lead from the second row. But this is what he does. Valentino, obviously, eight
practice
starts.
We talked about him practicing his starts.
Got a good start. Second, it was a good start for both the Yamahas.
And Andrea Iannone at the same time was slipping back down through the order. A crash there as well. Jack Miller and Alvaro Bautista. Thankfully, they're both okay, but more disaster for the Mark VDS team with Tito Rabat, who missed the race here this weekend with a fractured collarbone.
Yeah, and Jack, obviously, he's not 100% still. He's still kind of nursing that injury. And the VDS team, they're struggling.
That start was crucial for Iannone as well, though, wasn't it? Because you felt with his pace in that second half of the race, he could well have been there.
He had a great pace. He said it, you know, like it popped, you know, did a little wheelie and then lost all your momentum.
How's that feeling? You talk about it slipping?
Sometimes these things, if they grip, we call it a pop. It's like pow, you know, and it wants to lift the front wheel up. Where most of the time, it'll just slip, and it's nice and easy up, but something went wrong.
Valentino, of course, was then tucked in behind Jorge, wasn't he, at the front of the race? And he looked as though he was just biding his time. He was there or thereabouts, and he did get through.
He looked comfortable. You know, I think the first lap or second lap, he dove up the inside, went a little bit wide. And then he looked like he was just hanging out. You know, okay, let's just run this pace. We'll pull away from everybody. And
then, unfortunately, for Valentino, it all went wrong for him. Valentino Rossi's engine expired on him.
Something went wrong, and he slowed. He wasn't sure about it still to this point, obviously. He looked behind him. He didn't see any smoke before this, but here it starts pouring out.
Oh, that must have felt awful, not just for him, but for the whole team as well. We've been building it up so much. It was such a special occasion to see him on pole here in Mugello.
In Mugello, all the fans. I mean, look at all the yellow. I should have been his merchandise guy. I should have quit racing a long time ago and just say, I'll be your merchandise guy.
That conversation never happened. I bet it did happen at one point. And he said, no, he's too smart. He said, I'll keep this one in-house.
Exactly.
Don't worry about it.
Exactly.
Yeah, but unfortunately, that was the end for Valentino Rossi. We still actually got a fair race going on, though, didn't we? At the front, Marc Márquez starting to close in on Lorenzo. And the Ducatis were involved in their own fight as well. I was worried we were going to see something like Argentina again.
Yeah, I didn't really understand it because at one point, Dovizioso was doing 49s, and he went backwards. Iannone kept his 48-1, 48-2 pace, got up to him. then Dovey decided he wanted to race with him again. So I didn't, I'm not sure how all that went down.
I'd heard there'd been a bit of a decree actually at Ducati as well. When one got past the other after what happened in Argentina, they were supposed to be waiting a lap to get past each other. And then Dovey did have a go, didn't he, at the next lap. He had a go the lap after that again. And this is when Danny Pedrosa was starting to close in as well.
Yeah, yeah, here you see Dovey overshoots here.
If he'd have kept going, he'd have collected Iannone.
Yeah, absolutely. Pedrosa gets up underneath, and Pedrosa, same thing. Mid-race to the end, hard charging, lap times were unbelievable. It's almost like it took everybody that 8 or 9 laps to get rolling.
So Danny Pedrosa looked a lot better on the Honda. Yes, too far away from the victory here today. But Marc Márquez has shown he can put that Honda where we're not expecting it. He was saying before the race, a podium was a good result.
That was a weird thing. He wasn't that confident. And then here, he made a couple lunges. Jorge went back up under him. Jorge was trying to protect the line. Márquez wasn't expecting it. Here, I'm thinking Márquez has got it.
You know, it looks like Lorenzo's messed up the start of Bacino, but his exit speed. Now, is this where we're seeing the problem of the Honda?
Well, I think in the reality, Márquez is having to squeeze every single centimeter. You know, I mean, he can't just sit back, relax, and rely on the acceleration. So he's trying to squeeze it super early, super hard. Maybe spun it up a little bit, but Jorge went right by him.
That's as good a battle we've seen, isn't it?
It was
MotoGP
good.
GP for quite a while, I have to say. And Jorge Lorenzo coming out on top by just a small margin in the end. He's looking. We're going into places like Catalonia now, where we know he's going to be strong there as well. The good thing, I suppose, though, is that Marc Márquez is going to be able to battle him. Let's have a look at confirmation of the results and the gap between Jorge Lorenzo and Marc Márquez. Look at that, 19 thousandths of a second. That's tight.
That's pretty tight.
Andrea Iannone there confirmed just ahead, 2/10 ahead of Danny Pedrosa across the line. And then Andrea Dovizioso in 5th place. Bradley Smith, top Brit, in 7th place, just behind Maverick Viñales. Danilo Petrucci, a brave ride from him, ahead of Aleix Espargaró. Michele Pirro bringing up 10th place as well. And I will confirm that Eugene Laverty also scored points today. Right, as the smoke fills the air around here in Mugello. They weren't too happy about our race winner, but Neil Hodgson managed to catch up with him. He's with Jorge Lorenzo.
Well, Jorge, what do you say about that? We've been waiting for a proper race. That was a proper last lap, wasn't it? At one point, I thought you'd lost it, and then you made a mistake into Scarperia, and you were back on, and then what happened after that was crazy. Tell us about it.
Well, very difficult race, because the track with these conditions, has been not very, very grippy, so the pace has been not very fast. And I push 100% all the race, so I lose a lot of energy. Maybe Márquez behind have a little bit more energy to attack at the end. So when he passed me in the last lap, I thought, okay, maybe I have to save the points and finish second place. But then I remember in this last chicane, 2005 in 250, when I overtook De Angelis for the second place in this year. So I thought, okay, maybe I can do the same. So I try a crazy move. Was okay, but then Márquez overtook me again. In the last lap, I tried in the inside, but Márquez closed very well the door. So the only chance was the straight, but I thought, Jorge, you lose the race. But my bike was very, very fast. I was recovering meters so quickly. So finally, I win the race unexpectedly, no?
Sounds like even he was surprised, wasn't he, about the Yamaha being able to squeeze past the Honda down the straight. It's not very often we talk about the Yamaha being the one that's got the acceleration.
No, absolutely not.
Those two, you would say, two Spanish riders now, have got to be the ones we're talking about battling for the championship, because after Valentino Rossi's blow-up today, is that his title falling by the wayside? I know it's early days. We're only a third of the way through the championship.
Yeah, but when you're racing against Márquez and Lorenzo, you know what these guys can do, and they're not going to go throw it down the road 3 or 4 races in a row, and it's going to be tough for Valentino from this point out.
Let's get back to Hodgie. He's with Marc Márquez, the man who finished in second place today.
Well, Mark, I think that's fair to say that looked like the limit from where I was standing. That last lap was unbelievable. It looked like you'd done it absolutely perfect. Probably the small mistake into Scarperia, maybe a bit too quick. Lorenzo closed the gap back, and then them last few corners. Tell us what it felt like.
Yeah, I think I did a great race. I did a really good race. The main target was the podium. But then when I saw that Valentino had the problems, when I saw that I was able to follow Lorenzo in the limit, but I was able to be there, I said, okay, I will try. Don't forget the championship, market style comes, and then I try my 100%. I take a lot of risk today because I see that the victory was there, but you know, I did a really good last lap, tried to close the corners, tried to be smooth. But on the straight, you know, I already expect that maybe Jorge will be able to overtake me before the finish line, and was like this.
And I'm sure you didn't expect the overtaking from Jorge in the place he did it. It was a, you know, a different place to overtake in the Biondetti sort of chicane. Was that a surprise?
Yeah, it was a surprise because, you know, I prepared a lot the corner because I didn't expect that he will overtake me there. But he overtake me, but he go wide, and then I cut the curb inside. And I did a great last chicken. But, yeah, in the end, the last corner, I tried to close. I tried to go wide again for comeback with a great speed, but it was not enough for win the race.
So just not enough for Marc Márquez, and this is how it looks in the championship for him. He's in second place still, but now 10 points behind Jorge Lorenzo. Valentino Rossi stays on 78, and the positions there behind pretty similar with those seven Spaniards in the top eight positions. Eugene Laverty still stays in the top 10. He scored yet another point-scoring finish here this weekend. He's just dropped behind Andrea Iannone, of course, who finished on the podium. And we are now joined, so grateful to be joined by Andrea Dovizioso, Iannone's teammate, of course. And you were there. You fought back, didn't you, Andrea? And it just wasn't to be towards the end of the race. It looked a lot harder as the race got on because you closed in such a big gap.
Yes, overall, we have to be happy because we started in the fifth row, so it was a disaster, but I did a really great start and great the first five laps. I was close to the lead, but unfortunately I pushed too much and I have arm pump and I couldn't push from the middle of the race. So it was really bad because I had the position, I have the podium there, I have the speed there, and I have to slow down, and the arm pump is really bad, especially with MotoGP and in Mugello, because there is a lot of change direction and the grip drop a lot, so it's very difficult to manage everything.
Is that something you've had before? The arm pump? We're just watching the battle, obviously, yourself here, just when you were battling so hard with Iannone.
Yes, unfortunately, yes. It's a long time I have this problem, but sometimes come out very big like today. Sometimes it's very small, but it's always related how smooth you are on the bike. And we have the speed, but we are not confident on the bike.
Is there any difference from the Bridgestone to the Michelin with the arm pump? Is it any better or worse?
This is still strange because sometimes it's better, sometimes it's worse. For example, in Mugello it's worse. Yeah. In Qatar was a little bit better, but like I say, it's more related how fast you are and how smooth you're riding.
Yeah. Did your neck, the neck problems you've had all weekend, is that affecting the way maybe you're sitting on the bike, your position?
Not today.
No?
Fortunately, Clinica Mobile and my physiotherapy work in a right way, and I didn't have any problem in the race. But
what is the neck problem then? Is it muscular?
I'm old.
Old, see? Old.
You can't say that stood next to myself and Colin, come on.
I'm sorry. I'm 30 years old. And, I'm joking. In 2005, I crashed in Barcelona. I went to the hall, and I had a small problem in the neck. And sometimes come out this problem. I don't know how to explain in English, but when I have that lock, I can't put my hand on the back, and it's the position on the bike. So it's really bad, especially with the power we have.
Yeah, so we know, 13th you qualified yesterday. So what did you change overnight? There's something you found overnight, because your pace in the beginning was same as the leaders.
No, but the reality is we improved the bike in free practice four before the qualifying. Okay. And I had the four lap time in the free practice four, and this is the moment where you can see the pace for the race.
Yep.
And the Q1 was too fast for everybody, because with my lap time I was able to start six in the Q2.
Yeah.
So it was a strange Q1.
Yeah, it was.
For 49 millisecond, I wasn't able to go in Q2, but my speed was there.
Okay.
So I knew I had the speed to stay on front. And also this morning in the warm-up, I did really a great lap time. But the problem in the race was air pump. I'm very, very sorry to the team because we struggled at the beginning and Friday because I had the problem on the neck. So we missed some practice, but we did a really good job.
Have you done the arm pump surgery? Yeah, where they cut it?
Already.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. And still.
Yeah, I had the first time I had a problem in 250 when I swapped from 125 to 250. But for the same reason.
Yeah.
You change the class, you are not smooth. You are not smooth to how to ride, and come out the problem. But MotoGP now is a little bit different because every year we have more power, more yeah. power, more power.
All
more
the time.
Power. Yeah.
We have a lot of.
We can see the power.
A lot of spin, so it's not easy.
Andrea, we thank you so much for coming to join us after fifth place. Drake, great effort. We know you've been through some physical problems this weekend, so we do appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks to Andrea as well. And now I think we can go and join his teammate, Andrea Iannone, because he's with Neil Hodgson.
Andrea, how frustrating is that? Your race pace was fantastic. You know, from the midpoint to the end of the race, you were the fastest man on the track. Tell us about that start and tell us how frustrated you are.
Yes. I'm very fast. Unfortunately, my start was very bad. So, I'm not happy about this because it's, from the first race, I have this problem and I don't understand why. And I'm not very happy because in general, in all my career, my point my strong point is the start. And today is very a bad start, but in the other way, I have a very good pace, and consistent pace, and I push very, very hard from the beginning for recovering the gap. And so in the middle of the race, I think I possibly recover the gap than Jorge and Mark, but I hope Andrea, so when I stay in front, not try to pass me a lot of time, no, because it's very important the time. But no, Andrea, when I arrive in front, try your best and push very strong in the breaking point and pass me. And so I'm not possible ride with my style. But so in the last, I push very fast and I put the new circuit record on the track, on the race. And this is very, very important.
This is the best of the action from Moto3.
Last corner then. We're going to be striking for the line. Canet has gone out. The 44 as we cut back to the leader. It's going to be Binder, surely. Is he going to make it to the line? Quartararo's going to be second. A brilliant Brad Binder wins the Moto3 race here in Mugello.
Yeah, what a ride that was from Brad Binder there. Absolutely superb. To just judge it perfect to perfection coming out of that final corner and take his third victory in a row. And in terms of the championship now, that extends his lead. It was 24 points before this weekend and now it stands at 49 points. So in Moto2, moving on to Moto2 after that Moto3 interlude. Joan Zarco took the race victory today ahead of Lorenzo Baldassari. Sam Lowe's in third place. We're hopefully going to be speaking to him in a couple of minutes' time. And then Tom Lutie was in fourth place. Hafiz Shireen taking fifth in the end. It was those five, really, who were battling out for the podium positions. Axel Pons did a really good race, actually, didn't he, in that second part to finish sixth. Alex Rins lost the championship lead by finishing in seventh. A big mess-up, I would say, by virtue of his team. This is what happened earlier on in Moto2.
It's going to be Zarco, surely, if he pulls it down to the last apex here. Johann Zarco is surely going to win this Moto2 race. Lorenzo Baldassari was valiant in second place, but it's Sam Lowes. Does he make it to the line in third? There's your winners. Sam Lowes gets third place from Thomas Lutie and Hafiz Shireen.
Perhaps a win that Aki Ayo and Johann Zarco, his rider, wouldn't have expected today. They didn't look to be informed to battle for that podium, but they did take the victory. However, it was a good recovery from our very own Sam Lowes to take the podium position and reclaim the lead in the championship. And we are glad to be joined by Sam and his teammate from Moto3, Fabio Di Gianantonio, who scored his first podium. Congratulations to the pair of you today.
Thanks a lot.
But we'll start with Sam, first of all. You were watching that. I saw you looking intently about everything that was going on there. You had a big smile on your face. Were they gritted teeth? Because it was a really good chance of a victory in that first part until the airbag went at turn 13.
You know, for me, when a day goes like that, I'm happy to get some points and get another podium. In the past, maybe I'd have made a mistake in that race. But I felt so good in the first part. I really did feel in a good position. And for me, the 21 laps is what I've worked for all weekend. And I just got caught out with a 10 lap at the end.
Talk to us about the tyre situation then, when that happened. In fact, talk to us about what was going on in the middle part of that race. Did you have any clue? Because your team seemed to get it right. They knew about the quick restart. Other teams didn't. Is it frustrating that the teams that perhaps messed up have cost you a chance there of winning the race?
You know, it's frustrating, but that's racing. And, you know, other people missed out worse than me, so I've still got to be positive, and it was a very strange situation, to be honest.
Yeah, hard to communicate as well between yourselves. What was the situation with your tyres?
I had the same tyre for both starts and on the harder one. I'd worked all weekend to race the hard tyre, and I qualified on it, and it meant I didn't work that much on the soft, so I didn't want to risk it for the race and for the shorter race. I think Baldessari actually did use a hard one as well, but he had a new one. And I was on an old one, and I was just struggling for pace, to be honest.
I'm thinking this game, okay, there's a little bit of luck involved, but Zarco today definitely got lucky with the win. He was the only guy that started the race, the soft tire, the long race.
Yeah.
He obviously had a new one, went out, and just could, hard to hold pace when you got a hard tire that's already got six, seven laps on it.
I was thinking that, you know, obviously it was only 10 laps. I think if it had been 15 laps, I could have maybe caught up a little bit more. But, yeah, they had more pace than me. I was struggling to stay there, and when I saw a few laps to go, I thought, best get my finger out to get it on the podium. And it didn't go in a good way, and I'm happy to get the points.
Hey, did you watch Moto3 beforehand?
Yeah, I was revved up. I thought, well, he's gone and put it on second. I'm going to have to try and win. But it's fair play to Fabio. He rode amazing, and it's really nice to see.
Yeah, congratulations, Fabio. You know what? Your name, Fabio Di Gianantonio, for an Englishman, it's not too easy to say. It's really difficult. So from now on, you're FDG, if that works. Does that work?
Yeah,
does that
work for you?
Just DJ. DJ's even hard. We go for DG even. DG.
Okay,
we work for that one. But congratulations, your first podium. What about getting your first points and first podium in Mugello? Yeah. What about that?
No, it's beautiful. It's incredible. I worked a lot for this result. And then with my team, with Sam, that give me a lot of advices.
Don't take his advice. Okay, maybe in terms of the riding, that's okay.
He's but the number one.
You work closely, don't you, actually, as a whole team? You work all together?
Yeah. We work all together because when he finished the practice, I go into his box. We talk a lot. It's beautiful. It's a good team.
You were a Red Bull rookie, weren't you? Runner-up in the championship last year. So
second
in the championship, yeah, unfortunately so. But had you had experience from Mugello, from rookies, from the Italian championship as well?
Yeah. Here in Mugello, I did a lot of races. So I arrived here that I know this circuit. I love this circuit. It's my favorite. So
he actually said to me a few races ago, wait for Mugello. And I did believe him, but to be honest, I didn't expect a podium, so congratulations.
Yeah, absolutely cracking result for the team. Too,
and how's I worked with Cicchini in 04. Yeah. How is he to work with? Good guy?
He's the number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a really, really good boy.
Pretty smart guy, too.
Yeah. He helped me a lot in these weeks. I went to his house. He helped me like a son. Yeah, it's incredible.
Hey, it's that family atmosphere, isn't it, Grassini?
Yeah, I'm like an older brother, you know what I mean? Mature and wise.
Hey, what is it with you and Al? Is Al the older brother of you?
No, I'm 2 minutes. I'll tell you what, it really matters. It really counts.
So you've got experience of being the older brother. Sam, well done on your third place today. Well done, Fabio,
thanks
on your first podium as well. And that third place, actually, for Sam, puts him back on top of the championship. That's pretty much all from us here in Mugello. But in 2 weeks' time, we'll have more MotoGP action coming your way. Of course, it's the Grand Prix of Catalunya in Barcelona, Friday the 3rd of June, 8 a.m. on BT Sport 2 HD. Qualifying, of course, on Saturday, starting at 11 a.m. and race day on the Sunday. Will it be another battle between Lorenzo Rossi? Will Marc Marquez be involved? Make sure you join us there in Barcelona. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.